are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So we are speaking all things covenants, and today we're looking at blood covenant. So the Old Testament phrase literally means to cut a covenant. In old Western movies, we've seen two people making a blood covenant by cutting an incision on their wrists, joining hands, and lifting them to heaven in a promise, a covenant, a commingling of lives. So what does this actually mean? And we do know that we have seen animals being slaughtered in the Bible. We're going to find out if that is for a blood confidence or not, but yeah, so it's about to get bloody in here. Be warned. We are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Myanda Hango. Mfundisi, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you, and I hope I find you well.
I am good, Mfundisi. So I'm gonna ask that. Can you please pray for us so it does not get too bloody?
Shall we say grace? Beloved Father, we'd like to thank you for these words that are able to meet people at their different time zone and their comfort zone to hear of you and to share about your word. This morning, as we share about the bloody covenant, our desire is that we may project our minds to you, the one and the only crucified Savior, that we may not focus on the past, but the future, the crucified and the risen Lamb who is willing to save us from our sins. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, my elder, let's kick it off. What are blood covenants?
Interesting. I think we have already established a point of from yesterday. We talked about what it is and what does it do and who is involved in a covenant.
Yes.
Maybe as a matter of starting, we would do well to read from the book of Genesis chapter 15, verse number 9 and 10. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 9 and 10, the Bible says, and he took unto him all these and divided them. Let me just start from 9 here. And I'm using King James Version, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram of 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds he did not. So from the word go, and when we get a picture of the Levitical perspective from the Leviticus idea, we understand that in blood there is life.
Mm-hmm.
So the life of an individual, the life of an animal is seen in blood. So blood comprises a life of somebody. If in our normal life we hear that somebody has lost a lot of blood, the conclusion of the whole matter is that they are going to lose life. And for people to come back, and they call that as anemia. The health people call that as anemia, where somebody has a low blood count in their body system. Now, to rejuvenate or maybe recuperate their body, you might need to give them new blood, because blood is what constitutes life. There are a lot of particles there in blood. So these covenants that we see, the blood covenant, it was a mingling of life and life. So this blood, it was an idea of when you slaughter an animal, you have now transferred your life to that particular animal. So meaning the life of that particular animal is now what you have transferred as your life. So you have made a covenant through that particular animal, which is clean. It doesn't have any malady on it. It doesn't have anything that is suffering from. So you have transferred everything about you to the life of an animal, and the blood of an animal, which is the life, is now used as an agreement, as it were.
So looking at that, Mpundiswami, which animals were used in the biblical times for those covenants, and which ones were not being used?
Okay, from what we have read so far, it was given an indication of a heifer, a ram, a goat, and a dove, and a pigeon. And Abraham was meant to cut, and they were using the Abrahamic covenant. They were using animals that were clean. And the animal was not supposed to have any dent on it.
Mm-hmm.
The animal, and I'm going to give a reason as to why that was the case.
Okay.
An animal was not supposed to have any malady. If an animal was sick in any way, that animal was not supposed to be given as a covenant substitute altogether. Why could that be the reason? From many biblical commentators, the reason is very clear, because these animals were a foreshadow of what was going to come. And what was going to come was one who has no sin with Jesus, because he was crucified and he's our eternal covenant. So using that particular example, God wanted people to have a picture of what is going to happen. He still had in mind the promise of the everlasting covenant. So if in your practices you use a covenant, a kind that is not clean, it means that in your mind you're going to have a picture of an everlasting covenant which is not going to be clean. So to put an imprint in people's mind to say, you must use something that is clean to foreshadow something that is going to come, which is going to be more clean, was a picture of God in the people's mind.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at that, Mpundi Swami, and coming back to so when they were doing the blood covenant, we didn't have God's blood. So it was just the animal that shed the blood only onto the ground or wherever, into the dish or wherever. It's not like we had God's blood mixed there.
No. So here is the point. And if we are to read from the book of, if we are to read, and of course, maybe in the interest of time, I'll just paraphrase what is embedded therein. Jeremiah chapter 34, verse number 18 up to 19. When that was done, I should begin from that particular perspective. It was an idea of the two. A blood covenant communicated a self-maledictory oath that the two parts that are involved would walk the path between the slaughtered animal, so that they say, may this be done to me if I don't keep my oath. That is evident in Jeremiah chapter 34, verse number 18 up to 19. So he speaks about the type of the oath that was made when this particular covenant was made. Yes. Now, do we see God being slaughtered there or not? God was trying to foreshadow what shall happen in the days to come about the everlasting covenant. And again, we mentioned about what the everlasting covenant is. So all these practices were a foreshadow of the things that were to come. The animals were not going to withstand everything that was supposed to be done, but all the animals could do was to foreshadow the life of the one who is yet to come, who is Christ. And God now was going to be crucified through Christ on the cross. So that particular animal was a resemblance of this whole thing. So the two could agree using the blood of an animal, but God comes in play later on when we see it evident on the cross. I don't know if I was clear in my sharing.
Mm-hmm. So do we still need to do these blood covenants in Mpundi Swami, or is there something that happened that has made us not to shed blood anymore?
Okay, so because the law of God is very interesting, because for sin to be forgiven, the law of God requires blood. It requires the covenant. It requires the life. Now that we have established that a covenant or the bloody covenant, it is to mean a life of an animal or life of an individual.
Mm.
So because the law of God, for it to be satisfied, for it to feel I'm okay now, required blood. The Mosaic covenant was also blood covenant in that it required blood. You know, remember that there were some issues of sprinkling on the tabernacle and things like that. But yet, these things were not sufficient enough. Hebrews chapter 9, verses number 19 up to 21, it tells us that the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness.
Mm.
If you had to read that from chapter 9, verse number 22, and I'm quoting using the King James Version. So without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So what happened? Because these things were a shadow of the things to come. There was now time, because God looked and according to, and the Bible says, in the fullness of time, Christ came. So when God looked at the thing that were happening in the world, these doves, these things that were killed and stuff like that, they were quite expensive. And I don't know if all of us could manage to be using these things every time we want to make a covenant with God, want to engage in a covenant with God, then I go and slaughter an animal. I don't know if we could manage, because look at our continent. Africa is lacking in a lot of things. Of course, we have a lot of minerals, but we are lacking, isn't there? So the idea is that God is love. So in his love, he said, we should stop this particular thing. I will now send the fullness of everything, because now people are prepared. And in my mind, I'm trying to say, he was trying to prepare people's mind of what was yet to come. And what was yet to come was Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God.
Yeah.
So he says, people now have understood and they have prepared their minds of the soon to come. Let me give them now the true picture of whatever they were doing. So everything else that involved blood shedding and things like that, it was cancelled by the coming of the Messiah altogether. So because Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 23 says, all these things were only a copies of the shadows of the better covenant to come, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 23. Mm. The better thing to come is Jesus. So these shadows, if at all there is a, how do I run to your shadow when you are there? If I want to talk to you and then there is a shadow, I would be very mad to go to a shadow when there is you.
Yeah.
So the best I can do, if at all there is a shadow and there is you, and then I've been told, the shadow is there, but the person is there. So choose. I'll come to you because the shadow cannot talk to me. A shadow cannot do anything to me. It cannot communicate. But you can communicate. You can talk to me. We can engage. So the idea, therefore, now that the copies, they have been imprinted in people's mind and they understand better, they have the prerequisite knowledge about what is yet to come. He now comes and says, I have abolished these things. Not that they were not important, but they were a harbinger, or they were a forerunner to me altogether. I think that's a picture that we can run with if we are to understand it from that particular perspective.
So with that, my elder, are we then to understand that Jesus' blood is much more powerful and stronger than any other blood, be it animal, be it any other human being?
Now, because the shadow does not give sufficient information about the person. Actually, if you focus much on the shadow, you might think somebody is angry. Mm. Because the shadow doesn't give a clear picture. But if you are to read from the book of Luke chapter 22, verse number 20, in the new covenant was in his blood, and his blood is perfect. It does not have no sin. It doesn't have any malady. So he is the fullness of everything. And he equips us to him using his blood. So all these animals, they were just a shadow. And if at all we are to focus on the shadow, then we are cheating ourselves, because those were pointing to what is yet to come. And what is to come has come. So why should I go to a shadow when what is true is here? Ah, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
So we must now focus on the true definition of this particular covenant. Who is Jesus? His blood was shed once and for all. So if we continue to shed blood in the name of a covenant, then we are losing it. Because you and I know that there are many types of covenant. People mingle blood as life in their businesses to join themselves together. When people want to unite in the marriages, when people want to unite in businesses and friendship, they use blood. But all that doesn't work. Why so? It's because we now have the true picture of the covenant, who is Jesus. And in him, everything is fulfilled.
So let's bring it back now to us as humans, Pundiswami. Do we have blood covenants between people, like between me and another person, or you and another person? Do we, and what does that symbolize?
Okay, so in our world today, as I earlier alluded to, the people have made a lot of covenant, blood covenant in terms of marriage, because they feel what is going to make this particular marriage to last is to make a blood covenant where their life and this particular person's life is mingled together. Be it in a business, be it in a friendship, they would make some oath to say, please promise me by your word today that you will not do anything.
Okay.
And you are going to keep this particular thing, that we will be together as long as this particular thing. They will make that particular blood covenant. All they understand is that your life has become part of my life.
Mm.
And my life has become part of my life. All that is done, but that thing does not amount to anything. Why? Is because Christ has put everything in him. So if we continue again doing the blood covenant when there is the Lord who has everything in him. And you see, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 29, it says, therefore, all who are in Christ are spiritual heirs of the promises made to Abraham. And the promise that was made to Abraham was that I'm going to make you great. And I'll do ABC. I'll do all these things that he promised. So we only now have to focus on what Christ has done. He has done it all. So if we continue doing the bloody covenant, we are not doing ourselves justice, and those things will not sustain. And we have seen many marriages fail, even when they had a bloody covenant. We have seen many relationships fail, even when they had a bloody covenant. Why so? It's because this covenant does not suffice. Your covenant does not suffice. Your life is very impure. Your blood is very imperfect, that it needs the blood of Jesus for everything to be made complete.
Okay. So what happens if yes, we are impure and everything else. So what happens now when we do, or when we break those blood covenants? Be it, well, we can't break it now with God because Jesus did it for us. But then if we have done it, what happens if we break that blood covenant?
Okay. What happens if we break the covenant that we made with our fellow human being? Yeah? Well, people, I think what we have seen in the past life is that people have broken these covenants. At most times, they have not sustained them. So now that we have been enlightened, I've understood your question very clearly. Mm-hmm. If now we have understood that Christ's blood is enough for us, then we should let go of this covenant. You know, the Bible says in the time of ignorance, he winked.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of getting new light. We can break this covenant because they're not sustaining. They are not taking us anywhere. So there is nothing that's going to happen even if we break this covenant and then we focus on Christ. It's not that anybody is going to die because you promised this man that this is going to work using blood. Why? We are just changing because in our minds we thought this is going to work out. But we have now just accepted the eternal covenant. Who can sustain our little covenant? Who can sustain a shadow? It's like asking me that, can you still continue going to a shadow when you have now seen the person? Again, I'll go back and say, now that I've seen the person, I will gladly follow the person and let go of the shadow. If the shadow will be angry with me, I don't care, but I'll go to the person. The person will know what to do. The person who has called me will know what to do if at all I don't follow the shadow. Because he's a full picture of what I am following. So if his shadow needs me, then there's a problem there. So there will be nothing that's going to happen if at all we follow what he has said that we should do. I think that's the idea that I have.
Do we have, Mpundi Swami, do we have some people that have made a blood covenant in the Bible that you can refer us to?
Okay. So in the olden history, I'm sure we know that these things were used also not only in terms of the Christendom, as it were. So as I've given you an example also in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 17, that only God passed between the pieces of the signifying, binding the whole thing all together. But we know of Abraham. By then he was called Abraham. He made that particular covenant with the Lord, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we have got an example of Abraham, and we also have an example of the Mosaic covenant. That was blood. So all these blood covenants that we have, they were just a shadow of what was yet to come. So we have got the likes of Moses, the likes of Abraham. These and many other examples as what we can get as to. I think we can picture that from Genesis chapter 15, verse number 9, as I read it, as other examples that were in the Bible that used the covenant. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So as we wrap it up, Mpundi Swami, what then would be your closing remarks re-blood covenant? As much as, yes, we understand and we appreciate that these days we can leave the lamb there it is, you know, we don't have to touch it. We don't have to go looking for lambs and everything else. But what are then are your closing words? What then are your parting shots the blood covenant? And yes, we didn't make it bloody. We just explained very nicely.
Yeah. All right, so what am I to say? Closingly, I would like to say that the life of an animal on an individual is in blood. We have made covenants with different people to ensure that their life and our lives can be brought together. All these things, they used to happen in the olden days, and they were a shadow of the thing that was yet to come. These were just copies. They were a shadow of something that was going to come, which is greater, to kind of ameliorate us from these burdens of using our finances to do things. Something that is further sustaining and that stands forever. And you know that Bible says God remembers his covenant. Man can forget their covenant, but God remembers the covenant that he made with humanity very well. He does not forget, because Hebrews tells us that he is the one that makes an oath when he makes a covenant. So if he makes an oath, he remembers the covenant that he has made. Up to this particular time, the whole idea is to restore humanity to its original perspective. So if we use our own means to go back to Eden, we shall fail.
Yeah.
But we have one particular method, who is Christ and Christ alone. If we go by the method of Christ, then we are assured that our methods mingled with what Christ has given us. We are assured of going back to Christ and going back to the original perspective of Eden. So if we continue in the trajectory of doing bloody covenant for our marriages to stand, they will surely fail because Christ is absent. Again, I'm going to quote Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. So in every beginning, people, when they're beginning businesses, when they're beginning marriages, when they're beginning whatever they're beginning, if they make a covenant based on things that are not in God, these beginnings will fail. So every beginning that begins without God, it shall indeed fail. So for us to do any other beginning, and whatever we may call it, and if we desire to have a proper and a firm ground to stand on, we will do well to focus on the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Because through him, he is the fulfillment of everything. And in him, we are saved. We will lose our finances, our money, and our health, and our cattle, whatever we have, in the name of making covenant. But all our covenant will never stand without Christ.
Indeed, indeed. Mpundis, please pray for us as we wrap up, and also so that people may understand, God may help us, you know, understand the whole issue of covenant.
Thank you so much, mate, and shall we pray? Loving Father, we have just unpacked that you are the fullness of all the covenants that were made in the olden days. Today, people are making covenants of blood in order for them to sustain their relationship, to sustain their businesses, to sustain their work and things of that nature. Today, we have learned that all these things without you, they are just but nothing. We are asking that as we forge ahead in our new light of what we have learned, that now we may embrace you, the fullness of everything, that after we have embraced you as our true doctrine, we may stand firm even if the winds of life may be before us. Thank you, God, for this particular time. We pray that you may continue to speak to different people with these words, that they may understand the significance of you, the fullness of everything. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much for that insightful conversation about the blood confidence. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Until again tomorrow. Blessings.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.